Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, August the 18th, 2013.
Well, to begin tonight, I want to teach you a new chorus. Don't often do that at the beginning of the service, but kind of got an abbreviated music time tonight, but also want to focus on the Lord's table and some of the things that we'll be singing tonight. But Keith and Christine Getty have written just some great hymns and lyrics, and this is a song by them entitled Speak, O Lord. I'll sing it and then you can repeat it.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of
I forget my vanity. Lest I forget
these ensembles coming at this time.
Things that sin could think to offer me.
Thank you so much. We're going to ask the Meads to come and to share a testimony and a little bit of a report about some of the things God's been doing for them. And let me just give you a fair warning. We're going to take an offering in a few minutes, and so I encourage you to think about that as you're listening to the presentation and everything. So we're going to let you do it. Do you need a hand mic or? Okay, someone.
I have a big voice, so I'll probably be okay.
I don't think that works. Okay, this is the black one, the blue one. All right, there you go.
So we're going to be black and blue tonight, I guess. So I'm going to, first of all, I just want to tell you guys thank you so much. For your ministry, your faithful ministry to us, and your ministry in Poland. Without your financial support and your prayer support, we could not be in Poland. And we tell churches, and I'm sure you hear from missionaries all the time, that your prayers are vital, but it's a reality. Without the prayers of people here in the States from many different churches, there'd be no power working over there. So we appreciate so much your faithfulness in praying for us. I'm going to have my wife just give a quick update on our family, and then I'm going to share a little bit about our ministry.
We have three daughters, as some of you may remember. Callista, she's 25. She has just started her first year into Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky this year, and so just pray for her. And then Kelsey is our middle daughter. She has some learning disabilities, and so she has just finished the program at Shepherd's Ministries. Some of you may be, know about Shepherd's College, and she finished her culinary arts program and is living there. Now she's living in the adult program under Catalyst. They have coaches that will check on them, help them with their budget, coach them with making a menu, a grocery list, and take them shopping. And so she is now entered into the adult program. And then Kayla is our 12-year-old, and she is there with us in Poland. So she's going into sixth grade, and she's in the Polish school. She is fluent in Polish for her age group.
She's our Polish tutor.
And so this is just a little update on our family.
And I'm going to let my wife sit down where she wants to be. So, but I tell you, Shepherd's Ministries, if you know much about that, that has been such a tremendous blessing to our family. We're not sure how we could continue on in Poland because they weren't going to allow our daughter to return there. And so that was a tremendous answer to prayer for our family, for Kelsey to be able to be up there in their adult program. Well, I'm going to share just a little bit about our ministry, and some of it is kind of reviewing what we maybe have shared in the past, but this is our home church in Poland. It's in Sopot. We live in the Tri-Cities, Gdańsk, Gdynia, Sopot, and this is where we attend normally on a Sunday morning. Since we were here last time, we have a Polish pastor, so we have a national that is leading the church now. His name is Mateusz Wihary, and we're really excited what God is doing there. Just a couple pictures of the churches. We're running probably about 40 to 50 right now, and God has been blessing. This past year, we started a student ministry, which we're really excited about. I guess here in the States, we call it college ministry. And we have, depending on the night, we'll have here, we had four students. Sometimes we'll have as many as 10 or 11. And I don't know if you've ever seen the TV show Dinner in a Movie. But we kind of came up with or heard the idea, I'm not sure, but we thought we're going to do it. College students love food. If you give them free food, you can get them to come out. So we do dinner. We cook a meal together. It's a great time for fellowship, getting to know them. And then we go into a Bible study. And then afterwards, we play games. And God has really blessed that this past year. We've had a lot of discipleship going on. We've only been able to bring in one outsider from area churches. But that is our big prayer request for this year, is that they catch a vision to get out onto the campuses. In the Tri-Cities area, we have 84,000 college students. And so it's a tremendous field out there. And we're praying that they'll catch a vision for that. And they have started to, but they're not sure how they can do it. And even I was talking with Scott. He gave me a great idea of what we might could do. So we're trying to get onto the campuses there throughout the year. And I'll talk a little bit more about that group of students later. All right, this picture, before anybody says anything to me after church, I do have on a Vanderbilt football shirt, okay? I have a friend that lives in Nashville, and he gives me free clothes. And if it's free, I wear it. Actually, my daughter brought me a Cubs because she lives in Wisconsin, and I actually wore it, so. But only in Chicago. But any Cubs fan? No. No. But anyways, this is another ministry we have in Sopot. We do an English camp every year. We have groups that come over to help with this. And this has been a great outreach to the students. The young kids in this picture, we have in the mornings, it's kind of like a VBS. We go through, we play games. First, the opening time, we just kind of hang out with them and have a good time. And then we move in. There's our superhero theme this year. Then we move in and we teach them English. English is a big draw there. And so we go through and, you know, kids in the summer don't want to sit in classrooms. They've been sitting in class all year. So what we try to do is have fun games to teach them English. And one of the things that we did is we had a paper plate filled it with whipped cream and put gummy worms in there, and they had to pull it out and tell us what color it was and things like that, just to get them, it's kind of games intermingled with teaching them English and getting them talking in English. And so that was a lot of fun. They enjoyed that. That's our oldest daughter there, Callista, helping with the game in the teaching. We did different crafts as well to try to connect with them, give them a fun time in the morning, face painting. And then we closed out, we had different team competitions. And if you don't know a language, and you're trying to connect with kids or even adults, you get them competing against each other, and it's amazing how they can communicate to their teammates because they want to win. And so it was a great way to build relationships with the team and the students. We allowed them to name their own teams. And any of you that have been on a mission trip know that some words in other languages aren't necessarily good in our English language, and they come across inappropriately. A funny story, we let them name their teams, and so they went into separate rooms, and I walked into one of the rooms, and all the kids were excited about this is the name they wanted for their team. And all the Americans had red faces, and they were like, what about this, and what about this? And they were trying to get them to change the name. So I walked in, and I heard the Americans, and so I asked the Polish kids, what do you want to be? And they told me. And I was kind of thinking in Polish, so I thought, well, that's fine. They can be that. And the Americans were like, Kenny, did you hear what they said? And then it hit me what it was in English. And I said, oh, you're thinking, okay, that's not what it is at all. It's just, this is what it is in English. And then they went, oh, okay. But throughout the whole week, this team, and my daughter was on that team, the kids would do their chants, but the Americans wouldn't chant it. They could never get over what it was in English, so it's kind of funny. So if you want to know what it is later, you can ask my wife. She'll be glad to tell you. So you might could figure it out by the sign even, but anyways. And then after the game times, we would break up and we'd have a closing rally time. And this is really what we were focusing on. Of course, we wanted to build relationships with the students, but we wanted to be able to share the gospel with them. And so we went through superheroes in the Bible, and we used Peter and some different disciples, and then shared about how they also could be a superhero for the Lord. And so it was really a great week. Had some really good discussions with even the little kids. And then in the evenings, we have teenagers. We'd have hangout time with a teenager and not do the exact same program, but we would have some English time, and then we'd have a teaching time, and then we just had 2.5 hours where we'd just go to different parts in town and just hang out with them. And that was a tremendous opportunity to talk with them, and some of the questions that they threw out to us. Those of you that may not be familiar with Poland, it is a very Catholic country. Catholicism, there's probably, I would say now it's down to 85% would say they're Catholics. But to be Polish is to be Catholic. That's your heritage. If you get saved, they view that as kind of turning their back on their heritage. So it was very good to have that time just to talk through some of the issues. They'd ask, well, what do you believe about this, and what do you believe about this? And we were always very careful not to say, well, not what we believe, but this is what the Bible says about this. Because they tend to want to pit us against the Catholics, and we don't want to get in that battle. We just want to share with them what the gospel and what the Bible says. And there's especially two guys, if you'd really pray for those guys, that God was working in their hearts. And we're really praying that he would continue to work in their hearts. They didn't make a decision for Christ, but they're asking some really deep questions right now. So we're really praying that God will work in their lives. Other things that we do in Poland is we try to minister to a church in Elbląg. It's about an hour south of us. We usually go down there twice a month for afternoon Bible study. And the pastor there, this is Pastor Paweł. And we met him actually our first year in Poland. He was doing an internship at our church plant. And God just really, we just really clicked with him, and God gave us a great relationship. And when he moved to this new church in Elbląg, he asked if we would partner with him and reach out to the orphans around there. In that area, there is two orphanages, one in Borowice and one in Pasewek. And we get the opportunity to go down there, like I said, twice a month, and we have Bible studies there. And our goal is to see that turn into a church plant. We've had church there on Sunday mornings and have them invite their parents or friends. And we've had 3 or 4 families come out to that in addition to the 40 to 45 students that come to the Bible study. So we're excited that the possibilities of that turning into a church plant in the future. But one of the things that we do with Paweł each year is go on a hiking trip. I'll ask people sometimes, how many people enjoy hiking? And, you know, sometimes I might have 1 or 2 people raise their hand. For me, that wasn't my greatest thing. I wasn't a great, you know, big hiker. I enjoyed going in the mountains maybe for a half hour or hour hike. But they go on 6 to 8 hour hikes. So, you know, that's a hike. And I always tell people it's a great opportunity to talk with them because they have nowhere to go. They're on a trail with you. They can't run away. Well, occasionally they try, but you're kind of locked in there. And if you can catch your breath long enough, you can talk with them and have a pretty good conversation. And that's been a great tool for us as we worked with the orphans. And we've seen quite a few of them come to know the Lord over the years. This is this year's group. We're in the city of Seoul, which is kind of neat. Seoul is salt, the city of salt, to have an evangelistical camp. Some of the pictures that we had, the hikes. This area is kind of like the Smoky Mountains. One of the things with our camps, as we started building these camps up, we'd have adults asking, hey, can I go to these camps? And, at first, I wasn't sure how that would work, but it was parents of students. And we said, well, sure. We finally said, have your parents come. And this gentleman here, he actually was the parent of one of the orphans. And you say, well, how did an orphan have parents? But in Poland, most of the orphans we work with are social orphans. So the state has taken them away from their family for different reasons, whether it's alcoholism, drugs, or some kind of abuse in the home. And that was the situation in this, with this gentleman. His kids were taken away because of the alcohol in the home. And so when he asked to come to one of the camps, we were kind of concerned. But as we talked about it, Pavel and I, and we prayed about it, we said, okay, we'll let him come, but we'll just have a leader really focus on him throughout the week. And so 3 years ago, he came to the first camp, and the third night, he shows up drunk. I mean, he couldn't hardly walk. And we thought, oh, we've blown it. You know, this guy's here. What kind of example is this for the students? And so we had to escort him out and talk with him. And so he apologized over and over again. He said, I want to come back. He wanted to come back the next year. He said, I promise it won't happen. And we allowed him to come back. And that was last year. And his son, Kayatan, came, and he got saved. And God got a hold of his heart, and his father started asking all kinds of questions about what had happened in his son's life, and, you know, what is this change, and he's acting differently. And then this past spring, he had a close relative that passed away. And then he came to know Christ at the beginning of the summer. And so this year he was at camp, and as we were teaching, he was just back there just nodding his head at everything we were saying. And he just see the joy on his face. He was so excited. And, Pastor, I wanted to say something wrong just to see if he was listening or if he was just nodding his head because he was so excited. But it's so great to see. It doesn't matter the culture or the language. When God's word is shared, it reaches into people's hearts and it transforms them. And so it's been great to see how he's grown, even just the short time he's been a Christian. Some of the things we did different games with them at the camp, of course, to build relationships. Camp would not be camp without a bus ride. The evening sessions, again, we'd have music, and we'd have testimonies, and then we'd be able to share God's word. And one of the things that we try to do with the camps is we'll have high school and college students come over, and we challenge the guys to do a lot of the teaching. And that's been a great thing to see them blossom. And then also, it's been a great way for them to connect with the students, to have somebody their own age and seeing them do ministry. And so that's been an exciting thing for us, as well as a positive thing for the American groups coming over. Some of the other things that we do, this is some of the orphans that we work with. Just an exciting thing. The girl in the middle with the green pants and the checkered shirt is Ola. She has two sisters, Marta and Claudia, and Pavel, a brother. They were social orphans, taken out of their home because of alcoholism. And Gina's had a chance to minister to her mom some, and they've come to some of the ladies' events at the church. And she hasn't made a decision for Christ, but she's trying to change from the outside in. She's quit drinking and trying to clean up her life, which is a very Catholic thing. So the state has given her children back to her, so the girls are back in the home, which is a good thing. But, of course, it sounds bad when you say it maybe, but we'd much rather her die an alcoholic knowing Christ than die not being an alcoholic and not knowing Christ. So just pray that God would continue to work in her heart and help her to see that it's not how we change outwardly that pleases God, but it's when we give him our hearts and accept his grace that he's extended to us. So we continue to pray for her. Ola has made a decision for Christ two years ago. And she really was growing, but her dad had really some rough things going on there, but he's ended up leaving the home, and she's really struggling with that. How could God allow this to happen? So just really pray for Ola and her sisters that they'll be able to work through the result of sin in this world. And that isn't diminished God's goodness at all. But this is just, again, the Bible study in Patswick. Some of the other students there. Another ministry that we're involved with, that God has opened the door, when we first got to Poland, we would go to events because we didn't know anybody. So if we heard that there was something going on, we would just show up so we could meet somebody. And one of these times I showed up this event, I met a pastor, Pastor Miksa, and he was a pastor in Gzitsko. And we got to talk with him, and he started sharing about how discouraged he was, and he was ready to get out of the ministry. And we started to find out that there's quite a few pastors that are just feeling overwhelmed. Most of them are bivocational, and they're just with the demands of their family, working full-time, and then doing a church. It's just overwhelming. And so we started just trying to encourage pastors, traveling and just meeting with pastors. We'd have a youth rally on Saturday. We'd spend most of the day Saturday talking with the pastor. The evening, we'd have a student meeting, and we'd share in the church the next morning, and then Sunday afternoon with the pastor, just really trying to encourage the pastors. And this is one of the pastors that we did, and these are some of the youth in the church. And if you remember the group I told you, our Bible study in Sopot, some of those students are from different cities, and they're in Gdansk studying. Well, one of them is from Gdansk, and then some are from different areas. And so we got together, and we started doing a VBS in Gdansk. Our goal was to go in, and in the mornings, we would challenge the students. We'd have a couple hours of Bible study. We'd have a break, and then they would run the VBS in the afternoon. And we would just be there if they had questions or just be around. And really, they did a great job. We didn't even need to be there, but they said they wouldn't do it unless we were there. They just didn't feel comfortable. And so last year, we had some conflicts with our scheduling, and we didn't think we were going to make it. And so they were debating whether they were going to do it or not. And so we were able to work it out, and we went, and they had the camp, and it went great. Well, this year, we were in the States, and we just couldn't work out the scheduling. And so we were kind of, you know, wondering, we're kind of discouraged that this wasn't going to happen this year. And so when I told them we couldn't be there, they said, you know what, we're going to go ahead and do the camp anyways. And that was really exciting for us to see them get to the point where they felt confident doing the camp without us. And these are some of the pictures. They had a pirate theme this year. And they had a good group of kids that came out, and they did some plays and games. And then the guys divided up the teaching among them. So that was really exciting to see that happen. Another thing that we've been involved with in Poland is trying to help the Polish churches see the need for them to be involved in missions as well. And so we found out that there's a church in the south that would go to Ukraine, and there's five gypsy villages that they would go into, and they would go once a year and minister. And so we got involved in this and trying to encourage other churches to get involved. And it got to the point that they were taking a tractor trailer load full of food and clothing every year, as well as quite a bit of money to pay for electrical bills for the schools. First, they installed electricity in the villages, and they would help out in different ways. And then they would go on a mission trip and share the gospel in these villages. And then they had an area pastor that would do follow-up with these gypsies. So we were really excited about what God was doing with this. This past year, here's some pictures of the trip. It's definitely a third world country setting where they live at. And not all Ukraine's like this, but this area is. But this year our challenge was to the churches. They didn't have running water. They'd have to go to a neighboring village to get the water. And so we said, let's try to raise funds to put wells in these villages. And they raised money to put in 15 of these wells in these villages. And that gives us a great platform to share the gospel. We've really had to learn, because Poland, it's kind of a slow field. You can have, like, the camps. Some years, like this year, we didn't see anybody make a decision for Christ. Last year, we had 3 students come to Christ. But it's kind of a slow field. You just have to plot and be faithful and keep sharing and sharing. Well, in this area in Ukraine, the people want to please you. And so the first time we had a chance, an invitation, and 3/4 of the village raised their hand, they want to get saved. And we were like, all right, praise the Lord. And when we talked to the area pastor, because we came back the next year, and 3/4 of the village want to get saved again. And if you do the math, it doesn't add up. You know, yeah, 6/4 of the village has gotten saved. Let's pray for that other fourth. And so we talked to the area pastor about, you know, the dynamics of this, and they want to please you. So you have to be careful about how you word it and how you invite them to make a decision for Christ. But it's been a great experience for me, as well as the Polish leaders that went with us, to see that God does work differently in different cultures, and that we have to learn that culture. And it's been good for us as we talk to the Polish pastors, because even some of them have come back, and they've helped us greatly. They said, hey, it's clicked in our minds that you're not Polish, and you probably don't understand some of the things that we do. And so it's been some good conversations that is, I can't think of the English word, but developed between us because of that. And two, it's opened up the door for us to do some other things. This is a gentleman pastor from Africa, and he came up. He made a friendship with our pastor at a conference, and he came up and was sharing about his ministry with orphans and widows. And our goal for the student group, again, was to be outward-focused, ministering in Poland, but also we were praying that God would call some into missions outside of Poland. And so we wanted to get them to on our Ukraine trip and let them experience that, and they had no desire for that. And so that was kind of discouraging to us. But then this gentleman shared, and they just caught a vision, and they said, that is exciting. We would love to do something like that. And it just helped Gina and I to see it's not about what ministries we start or involved in, but what God wants to do there. And so even outside of what we were thinking, but God put this on their heart. And so now they have a desire, and we're trying to help them plan a mission trip to Africa, these Polish students, next summer. So that's another thing that you guys could pray with us about. As we talk with them, we challenge them and say that God can do this in Poland. Some of the mindset that we hear a lot in Poland from pastors and people in the church is, oh, God can do that in America, but he can never do it here in Poland. And that's not true. He's not chosen to do some things there yet, but he can work in any culture. And so we've challenged them that within Poland to raise the funds that you need and the prayer support that you need to do this trip. And so we're really praying that they'll see God work in a tremendous way and that we'll be able to go down to Africa next year, next summer, with these 10 students. And again, we're praying that God would maybe even call a couple of them into full-time missions. So that's kind of a quick overview of some of the things that God has allowed us to be a part of in Poland. Some of the things God has started and we've kind of been able to jump on board with. A couple of things, he's given us the privilege of being able to be at the seed and see it get started up. But we're really excited to go back next week and get back into our student ministry starting up in September and seeing what God would do with this trip, hopefully next summer. So we appreciate your prayers for the ministries there and for our family. And you guys are dear, dear friends, and we pray for you as well. And thank you so much for your prayers.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I think I'll get that. Yeah. I think we'd like to receive an offering for Kenny and Gina Mead. And so unless otherwise designated, this offering will go to them and to the ministry to which God has called them, and they're going back. And this is is this like your third term you're going back for? Okay, that is wonderful. Father, for this offering, we thank you, and we pray that you will continue to bless their efforts, Father, and especially as they're thinking about this missions trip, that you'll work those details out now. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the Lord's Table night, and whether you're a member of this church or not, that's really not an important issue. The question is whether or not you know the Lord as your Savior. And if you know the Lord as your Savior, then we encourage you to participate in this. This is table, and so you know how it begins, and it talks specifically about the fact that that the same night in which the Lord Jesus would be betrayed, that they took bread, but first they gave thanks. Ed, would you pray for the bread, please?
Father, we are grateful for the body that you broke for us, and we're thankful, Lord, that we can reflect on that time, that the last supper, that you encouraged the disciples of what to expect, and we appreciate, Lord, the broken body that was broken for us, because Jesus is strong.
Received of the Lord that which also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The scripture says, "After the same manner also he took the cup." Burdette, would you thank the Lord for the cup, please?
Father, you say in your word that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Lord, we realize that without the shed blood of Christ, we would all be bound for what we deserve in eternity in hell. Lord, you loved us so much that you were willing to save your Son, who was willing to die in our place, shedding his blood, so that we might have a wonderful future, but also the chance to live a purposeful life here on this earth, Lord. And give us a family in the church and so many blessings, Lord. All we can say is thank you. Praise you.
same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, you declare the Lord's death till he come." We sit on kind of a strategic corner here in the sense that we have a lot of benevolence opportunities, just a whole horde of them. And people come in and they have special needs of one kind or another. And so the way we're able to fund those things is we do this with benevolence offerings. We used to make it part of the budget, but we found that this works out much better. And we have a chance to really strategically invest our funds in some people in the community that have special needs. We could take you on a trip. There's places where there's just lots of homeless people that gather and sleep outside, not so very far from us here. And so there's people that make regular visits to us to see us and talk to us, and we find that that's a great opportunity to encourage them and to talk to them about the Lord and these things. So that's what these offerings do. So, Father, for this offering, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a couple things I want to do tonight before I leave. It's rare that you have these kinds of opportunities, and so I just thought it might be something for you to just kind of put your eyes on and to think about that. So Joel and Debbie are leaving on Wednesday to go back to Hungary, and it would be your second term you're going back for, fourth year. So we're excited for them, and then of course Andrew and Mary are going up to Toronto to start, where are you going? Quebec. I thought Quebec was in Toronto, or Toronto was in Quebec. That's a third world country. I don't know hardly anything about it. So they're going to Canada to work on their French and everything, and they've got, they're leaving tomorrow morning. And I think I said the crack of dawn, whatever that is, and all. So we pray for them particularly. And the Meads are going next Monday for your third term in Poland and everything. And the Leathers, back here, wave your hand. And they're going to go to France. And they're going to do their language study in France and everything. And they're going to ultimately going to be in the northern, I want to say the northern part of Togo, Kara up there where they're developing a radio station. Is that right? Okay, Mongo. Okay, so that is very good. And then Burdette and Mary Jane are back here, the Bergens. And Burdette is leaving, I think, the 5th of September. And you're going back to start doing camps and all sorts of things, or? And Mary Jane, who is not nearly as spiritual as you, is going to stay here for the birth of her, Lord willing, the birth of her your second grandchild and everything. Okay, so that's, have I left anybody out? Oh, yeah, Ed and Carmen right here on the front. Oh, yeah. And now you're leaving in October to go to India at that point. And you leave Wednesday to go to China to go back and do a little bit more teaching. So, I mean, that's kind of neat, isn't it? And everything, one congregation should be so blessed as to have all these people we rub shoulders with and, you know, to be able to know something about what's going on and things like that. Well, I've got something else I want to remind you about. And this is a little bit harder. But But 5 years ago, Gabriel Scott Crosby went to be with the Lord. Died on August the 23rd, 2007. And of course, his family's still in this church. And I know this is going to be a hard week for them, but it's also a week of remembrance and everything. And so I mention that to you so that you'll think about them and that you'll contact them and pray for them, that the Lord will do special things for them at this time. Because this is hard, isn't it? So we look to the Lord in these things. Well, you have a great week. Lots of exciting things going on, and just can't hardly wait to see what God's going to do at this time. And you know, I've got two grandchildren here, and so it's going to be exciting. So Lord bless you. Have a great evening.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.